إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجي وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, first and foremost we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing and honor that once again this ummah has a meeting. The Muslims come to their weekly gathering of the day of Jumu'ah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless our gathering and bless all of our brothers and sisters that continue to observe the day, the time and the moment of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Allahumma ameen. Today I'd like to share with you two verses of the Qur'an in two separate surahs. And this khutbah I devoted to the Qur'an's guide in how we thank and show gratitude to the Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first verse I want to share with you is none other than the verse that is found in Surah Luqman. Now you might be thinking, well, why this particular chapter of the Qur'an and not others? Well, very, very simple. Whenever you're thinking about gratitude and showing thanks, whether it be to each other, to family members, to colleagues, people in general, the Qur'an, one of its central themes from cover to cover, is teaching the student of this book how to be grateful regardless of what circumstances, regardless of what hardships and tests that they're being put through in life, how at the end of the day they can still see the light at the end of the tunnel. They can still see the beauty in whatever difficulties they go through, and as a result, they're able to look towards Allah and thank Him. Sometimes we don't know the deeper wisdom as to why things happen. But yet in the Qur'an we're still commanded, be grateful. Now, when you turn your attention to the chapter of Luqman, you'll notice that as soon as you hear the surah, most people, they'll think immediately about the advice that Luqman gave to his son. The set of advices and guidance that he gives his child. But what I want to bring your attention to is how all of that began. Just because a child comes from a good family doesn't mean that child is going to be raised and become good him or herself. Take the example of Nuh alayhi salam. It's a good family. But do you remember what happened to his son? The son looked at his father and said directly to his face that I'm going to go up that mountain and I'm not going to listen to what you want me to do or what the Creator told you to do. Then the opposite is also true. Just because a child comes from a bad family doesn't necessarily mean that that child is going to be raised and become a bad person. Take the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He comes up from a home where his father not only was a mushrik, not only was he worshipping other than Allah, but in addition to that, he developed and he was in charge of an industry that created idols for worship. And look what his son became. His son left a legacy from that moment until the day of judgment. We bring our attention to Surah Luqman. And if you ever want to know what true parenting is in the Qur'an, this is the starting point. But listen to how the discussion began. The first thing Allah says to Luqman is He says to him, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ We gave Luqman wisdom. Remember, wisdom is very different from knowledge. Knowledge is just one ingredient for someone to develop wisdom. Another ingredient that helps us to be wise in decisions we make and life in general is experience and reflection. When you really take time to think things through, when you really take time to sit back and wonder why these events unfold, why our circumstance is what it is, only the one who is gifted with wisdom is able to do that, and able to do that in a constructive manner. So Allah says, I gave you wisdom, Luqman. What does He tell Luqman to do next? Anishkur lillah. Be grateful to your master. Listen to the relationship. Allah just blessed him with something. And He orders Luqman, I want you to be grateful. I want you to give thanks to me. What scholars say is that this is the peak of wisdom. The peak of wisdom is when you live a life that you show gratitude for everything and anything, even though in front of your eyes you can't see the good in it. You don't understand why it's happening this way. You made a plan that you wanted life to go in one direction, but it seems as though everything is unfolding in the complete opposite direction. The true believer of Allah is the one that still remains in that state of confidence. You think positive. You're a believer in Allah, so you believe He's in charge, He's in control. He knows what He's doing, so I'm not going to question Him. So I'm still going to be grateful to Him. With the rise of Islamophobia, hatred, bigotry, discrimination, racism, in all forms, you know what the believer's attitude is when you address these issues? Inside your heart, you're still grateful that Allah made you and put you alive in 2017. Because let's be honest, if our Creator wanted to, He would have put you and I alive in another generation where if we heard the word murder, if we heard the word stealing or any other different crimes, if we heard those terms, we would be like, what's that? Why would somebody want to commit murder? Why would somebody even steal something? Allah could put us in the most perfect generation. But no, you're here, I'm here in this day and age. Do you know why? Because the Almighty Creator sees you have what it takes to live in this day and age. Despite in the face of all these different forms of hatred, all these different forms of discrimination, still Allah told you, be grateful. Still Allah told you, be Muslim. Stay a believer. Be confident in this message. So that's what Luqman is being told. He's told by Allah that if you really want to see the beauty, the heart of your wisdom, be grateful to me. But also keep in mind, the conversation continues. أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ وَمَن يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ Whoever gives gratitude, just remember one thing, Allah doesn't benefit. He doesn't become more stronger or more powerful or more knowledgeable because we show gratitude to Him. Because at the end of the day, He doesn't need this gratitude from us. He orders us to do it because it's actually more beneficial to us than Him. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ Listen to the conclusion of the ayah. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Whoever commits kufr, then realize that Allah is fully independent and all praise and glory belongs to Him. Do you see the correlation? Do you see the relationship? We're talking about gratitude and then Allah talks about kufr. Put it together. If you don't show gratitude, then you're actually committing kufr. Subhanallah. Now bring it back into today's time and in our communities and our relationships with one another. This is a massive problem. Because usually people in general show gratitude when whatever requests they've made have been fulfilled. So you invite a speaker to come and lecture the audience. And he does it, but he didn't do it exactly the way you hoped he would. He still fulfilled his amana, he still fulfilled his trust, but you're not exactly satisfied. What did Allah say to for you to do? Be grateful and thank Him. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the one who does not show gratitude to people is the one who does not show gratitude to Allah. You have to be grateful for each other. Even parents have this. You know, when you do a lot for your child, at some point even it's very natural for a parent to say, you know, I've done so much for you. The least you can do for me is show me some respect. The least you can do for me is support me. Support what I'm trying to do. So even naturally as parents, without even thinking about it, you do so much for your children, but you look for something in return. Allah says that the starting point of this is, you yourself have to show gratitude to others in order to receive it in return. Now the big question here is, how do you show gratitude? How do we thank Allah? This is where I bring our attention now to the second verse. Verse number 77 in the chapter of Hajj, Surah Al-Hajj. Allah says in this surah, now keep in mind how the surah began. Ya ayyuhan nas. It spoke to all of mankind. But the beginning of this chapter, Allah wasn't pleased. That's why the first ayah warned people that inna zalzalati sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. That the moment of when the hour, meaning the day of judgment, is announced, that moment is going to shake the ground and it's going to be a profound moment and event in our lives. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the strength. Allahumma ameen. So it began talking to everyone. But as the surah continued, Allah wasn't pleased with how they responded. So the attention turned towards you and I as believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of Iman. Now here is one of many verses in the Quran that teaches you how to thank Allah. Number one, Allah says, irka'u. Number two, wasjudu. Number three, wa'budu rabbakum. Number four, wa'f'alu al-khayr, la'allakum tuflihun. Four things. Number one, Allah says, make sure you perform ruku', the bowing position of prayer. Now, I want you to think of ruku' and sujood from the eyes of someone who doesn't pray. Whether that be a non-Muslim or even somebody who calls himself a Muslim but they don't pray. Think about when you see someone and you watch them how they pray. Do you see how we do it? We fold our hands together, we're looking at the ground, and somebody who walks by and sees that, they'll be like, my God, my goodness, these people are really humble. Look at them, they're looking at the ground and they're keeping themselves together. Then the next step is, we go into the bowing position. And this observer is thinking to himself, wow, they're really humble. Because now they're bowing down to their Creator. And then when they see you and I going into prostration, we put our foreheads to the ground. Wow, these people are really, really humble. What does that tell you about prayer? The whole purpose, the umbrella that hovers over prayer, is called the umbrella of humility. The more we learn, the more we pray, the more humble we're supposed to be. We're actually supposed to feel this sense of humility and enslavement with Allah's worship. You know, the greatest title given to us is that God Almighty calls us a slave. But that term is the most humiliating term in this world. That's the one thing you don't want to be called in worldly life, but in front of our Creator, we are so honored because that's the best title that we could have. And Allah even called His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He called him a slave. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Praise be to Allah who took His slave on the night journey. He didn't say, Subhanalladhi Asra bi Muhammad. So this title of you and I being slaves and commanded to worship and bow down and prostrate to Allah, there's a couple things that are supposed to happen here. You know when you learn something and you increase your knowledge and experience, outside in the modern world, in businesses, in the corporate world, what happens to people like that is they're promoted. Their respect is increased. Their salary is increased. They're promoted, their status and their position is honored. But from a spiritual sense, from a religious perspective, the more you learn, the more you're supposed to feel humbled. So think about when you come to Salah, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about when is this Imam going to finish? His surah is too long. Are you thinking about this guy can't recite anything? Somebody else should have led the prayer. Are you thinking about, I haven't prayed Fajr on time for the last 3 months? Think about how we approach these prayers. And the second thing to keep in mind is, from one prayer to another is supposed to improve and increase and perfect our attitudes and our personality. It's actually supposed to make us better people. From Dhuhr to Asr, your mindset and the way that you think is supposed to reflect that Dhuhr prayer until Asr comes. Then Asr, you re-engage, you restart, you reaffirm. Then from Asr till Maghrib, you're in Asr mode. You know they say, pillars hold up a structure. Well, pillars or salah are the pillars of your day. They keep you balanced. They keep you calm. They keep you relaxed. So we're supposed to learn this. And another example of this in the Quran is, remember the altercation between Iblis and Adam. As soon as Allah created Adam alayhi salam, what did Iblis say? You just created him. And he already gets a promotion. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I'm actually better than him. So this mentality of Iblis even falls into our own communities, within people. I've been a board member for the last 20 years. How come he's now the president? How come he's now the director? How come he's now the MSA president? I've been the MSA president for 2 semesters. Why does he do that? Some of us have this attitude. Some of us have this attitude where if Allah gifted us with some authority or knowledge, we feel as though we can just kind of walk over others. I'm the one in charge. This guy doesn't know how to recite Surah Baqarah the way I do. Lots of young huffaz have this problem. I'm already starting to hear it. The young huffaz that are starting to review for Ramadan, they're having conversations, some of them amongst themselves, saying, should I pull out my sudais this year? Should I pull out my Mashari Rashid this year? You're missing the point. If that's your attitude when you pray, then I'm afraid to say that there could be a possibility or a potential that the thing you hope is rewarding you may actually be punishing you. May Allah protect us from this. And so brothers and sisters, Urka'u wasjudu, sajda. This is the peak of humility. When you bow down to Allah and you submit yourself to Him and you put your forehead to the ground, you put your hands to the ground, doesn't matter how clean your clothes is, doesn't matter how much makeup you have on, doesn't matter anything. You bow down to your Creator. That is the peak of humility. That is the moment where you should realize that this is how Allah is putting me in my place. It doesn't matter if I'm the president of the largest corporation or the largest business or I make the most money. When I put my head to the ground, I am just as equal as everyone else. Now, when you finish prayer, we start prayer by saying Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. So Allah is happy with that. So happy to see that, okay, you acknowledge that I'm the greatest in prayer. So let me see if you can acknowledge me as well outside of prayer. So what's the next thing? If you want to improve your gratitude with Allah, then the third thing you should do, wa'budu rabbakum, worship your master. This is referring to everything outside of prayer. You did a good job in salah. And this is one of the very few times that we can be proud of. As believers, we come together, we can coordinate, we can stand in a perfect line, we can do all of that great thing, all of those great things, until it's time to drive out of the parking lot. This is the problem. You did a great job here and Allah's pleased with you. Now Allah says, okay, can you do the same thing outside of prayer now? Can you do the same thing, worship me and be mindful of me and think of me and be grateful of me when you're standing in line? When somebody cuts you off on the road, and don't escalate that problem, because it could be potentially dangerous, there could be a problem. If somebody else is given a position in charge of something, can you show that you're also grateful and you're humbled by that? Give somebody else an opportunity. You try. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. You're planning, but Allah is also planning. Can you embrace Allah's plan outside of salah? وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Doesn't stop there. Here's number four. When all is said and done, when you're not in some form of worship, then Allah concludes and says, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ. Not وَعْمَلُوا الْخَيْرِ. وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ. فَعَلَ is random, spontaneous action. عَمَلَ, like عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمَلَ is righteous deeds with a righteous or sincere intention. There's a goal behind amal. You do righteous deeds because there's an ultimate goal. But something as random as just smiling and saying thank you, or you're welcome, good morning, hello, shaking somebody's hand, just showing little itty bitty tidbits of gratitude between each other, all of this falls under the umbrella of just fi'l, af'al, good action. So the least requirement Allah expects from you and I, if you really want to be grateful, is at the end of the day, just be good to one another. Just be good people. And I've said this before. If you want to be a great believer of Allah, a great Muslim of Allah, your starting point is you got to be a good person. If you want to be a student of the Quran, you got to have a good heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the revelation when he was about 40 years old. When he was about 40 years old, then Allah said, here's the Quran. So what was he doing prior to that moment? He was known to be the trustworthy one, the most honest one. People looked up to him. He was still an example of brilliance. He was still a beautiful human being. Once he went through that phase of his life, that's when God Almighty, Allah said to him, okay, now you're ready. Here, you can have the Quran now. May Allah Azza wa Jal purify our actions. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us better people. Even if we are good, may Allah increase us in good. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the strength and the knowledge and the understanding that we be true believers in this world so that we are rewarded with His paradise in the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. Here's the conclusion. You're making ruku', sujood. Your life revolves around some form of worship. And in between all of that, you're doing good. You're a good man. You're a good woman. You're a good son. You're a good daughter. You're a good student. You're a great scholar. Whatever it is that Allah blessed you with. What's our ultimate goal? What do we want out of this? As long as we have the attitude of gratitude, we are champions in the hereafter. Listen to the conclusion of the verse. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. لَعَلَّ, hopefully, maybe, inshallah, you'll be amongst those who are successful. Because we see them every day. Some people give you that two-faced attitude. They give you the fake smile. They shake your hand, they smile, they talk to you, say great things in front of you until they get back into their WhatsApp group and they start talking about you. Until they get on the phone. Did you see brother so-and-so? Did you see sister so-and-so? until they get into private conversations. So people like this, of this category, they don't actually go anywhere. Because on the one hand, the good deeds is they're smiling and they're kind, etc., etc. But they're burning out all of their good deeds because they can't stop bashing this person on social media. They can't stop talking about this person in their private conversations, with their private groups. These are the people that will not have falah, success in this world and in the hereafter. And I want to conclude to just paint an image. You're hearing this word constantly in the Quran. Muflih. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Falaha actually refers to the farmer that plants a seed deep in the ground. And a kid sees that. And he asks the farmer, what are you doing? Why are you planting that seed in the ground? And then I see you're nurturing it, you're watering it, you're giving it plant food. Then once in a while you got your tractor, you're going back and forth in the farmland, and you're mixing the soil, you're doing all of this stuff. Why? The muflih, the farmer, looks at the child, this young person, and he says to him, you'll see. You'll see why I'm doing this. And after 1 year, what happens? He starts to see the fruits of his effort. And that's when he can tell the kid, this is why I put all that effort throughout the year, because this is what I wanted. I wanted to see the plant sprout out of the ground, and I wanted to enjoy its fruits. Now I can relax. Now I don't have to work on the farm anymore. That's us in the Akhirah. Right now, all of us, we're spiritual farmers. We're planting our seeds right now. Our seeds are what? Good deeds. That's what you're planting right now. You're planting a whole bunch of good deeds in your life. When do you get to see that spiritual tree as a result of that good deed? It's when you're in the Akhirah and Allah says to you, oh my son, oh my abd, oh this person, that, and he calls you by your name and he says, look at your scale. Look how much you've planted on earth. Look at the result. Look at how much goodness you have. That's what we're hoping for. And I hope that inshallah this is somewhat a precursor or something to tickle your appetite, preparing you for the month of Ramadan. I want you to start to think about this. Think about what exactly is it that you hope to achieve and accomplish, not just for the month of Ramadan, but all that comes before it and after it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase us in good deeds. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase us in knowledge and understanding. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that if we are accepted as good people, Ya Rabbi, make us better people. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless and honor all of our brothers and sisters who preserve and protect the message in their hearts and in their action of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله